Good morning. That was absolutely gorgeous. 12 people singing. They sounded so much bigger than 12 people. By the way, I just set my watch. I'm supposed to keep this down to 50 minutes. So if you want to set your watch, and then you can check up on me. I love the Feast of Tabernacles, and you do too. I remember my first Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm sure you do. Well, maybe some of you do not remember your first Feast of Tabernacles because you were a tiny little thing. I was 19. God began calling me when I was 17, and I didn't attend any service. Living in South Carolina, the Radio Church of God only had two churches east of the Mississippi, Pittsburgh and Chicago. And so I didn't go to church until later when I was 19 and went to the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, you're familiar with the Feast of Tabernacles at Big Sandy, but we didn't call it Big Sandy back then because Big Sandy was even smaller then than it is now, so we called it Gladewater, which was a little to the east and was much bigger. And it was the only feast site in the world for Radio Church of God. 5,500 people. And everybody was so excited that there were 5,500 attending the feast. That's the one and only feast site. It was over 1,000 bigger than the year before. And that new tabernacle building that could hold us all. So it was wonderful. I remember them going through Micah 4. And verse 4, hearing verses I'd never understood because I had never attended a local church. By the way, was anybody there in 1959 besides me? Anybody here? Okay. Most of you probably too young anyway. But, you know, you'd say 5,500. Let me tell you, that tabernacle building had to be expanded because next year it was 7,000. And began to wonder, what are we going to do? The church was, I say we, Mr. Armstrong and the others who were there. There was a kind of a hole in that area they call Buck's Bowl after Buck Hammer. And they thought, well, maybe we could cover that over. But instead, they started going up, we started going up to Squaw Valley. And that upset a lot of people that we would have two sites instead of just one. But can you remember, I do remember, and we always say best feast ever, but wow, to learn about every man will sit under his own vine and his own fig and no one will make him afraid. And then Isaiah 11, talking about how Jesus will return, there'd be peace on the earth everywhere. And now I'm not going to say that the lion will dwell with the lamb. But if you've noticed here on the front, this is Isaiah 11 pictured up here, these little animals. And you notice the lion is not with the lamb. Good reason for that. Why is that? Anybody? No place in the Bible does it say the lion will dwell with the lamb. No, it doesn't say that. Anybody remember? Who dwells with the lamb? There you go, right there, the wolf and the lamb. Now, it doesn't say that the lions won't be there. There's a lion over here near it with straw. Because it says lion will eat straw like an ox. But it starts off, By the way, there will be lions. There'll be a beautiful sight. There'll be all these lambs out there, and the lions are lying there watching those beautiful lambs. One turns to the other and says, "Aren't they beautiful?" And then he says, "I bet you can't eat just one." No, no, kids. The lion and the lamb, the leopard and the kid, bear and the calf, and the lion with the straw. And I was so excited. That was wonderful. And it's going to be even, we're discussing that, but I want to talk about something else. Now let me turn this on. I want to talk about 1,000 years of joy, and what will the millennium be like for you? I mean, I'm not saying that we can't sit underneath a vine or a fig tree, but that's not the big thing for us. We can join people who own land and have vines and fig trees to sit under and go sit with them. But you know it's going to be even better for you? It's going to be even more wonderful. What will it be like for you? So, yes, it's good to cover what it's going to be like for human beings. But what about for you? Since you won't be a human being. I want to talk about joy. The joy that we will have. And I want to quote one of my granddaughters. I have eight granddaughters. I want to talk about, and this is Autumn Grace, used to be Haggard, now Jennings, married an Australian. He came to live here. She sent us a picture. She said, "I'm happier than I've ever been." What makes her so, made her so happy? She sent a picture of her husband and her new baby. Can you understand the joy that she had? You can barely see him. After all, it's the baby, Atticus, that's important. You know what makes, I'm going to give you a theorem, a hypothesis, a belief that I want to try to expand on. Joy, the greatest joy, is caused by love. The first fruit of the Spirit that is listed is love. And you know, I truly believe every last one of the fruits of the Spirit afterward is based on love. Because Autumn loves that little baby and her husband, but especially the baby. And look, when I first had a baby, if I had said to my wife, at Lucretia, who's no longer living, but if I had said to her, "Honey, I love David as much as I love you," she'd say, "That's it? You only love him as much as you love me? He's so much sweeter than I am." But she loved that little boy more than any human being she'd ever known. And Autumn, and Aaron's wouldn't be hurt at all. He loves that little boy, Atticus. Here's what Autumn said. "We had no idea just how much we'd love him. That's why," she said, "I am happier than I've ever been." Now, you might say happiness and joy can be a little different, because you can have joy when you're not actually happy. But pretty much when you are happy, you do have joy. And she's happy and she's full of joy. I've got this down here. Why? Now, here is here's Autumn with Atticus. He's a little bigger here. Can you see joy? Can you see him? Does he look like he's happy? Oh, he loves his mommy. Now, it doesn't always, most of us, when we were that age, we loved our mothers more than anybody. And there is Autumn full of love. Now, see, the point I'm trying to get across, and I'm going to go quickly here, is that love creates joy. And in God's kingdom, you and I will have more love than we've ever had, because we won't be bothered with flesh. We'll be, look, right now we can have love because of God's Spirit. I mean, deeper love than we've ever had. God's Spirit can be in us. But when we're in God's kingdom, we will not have God's Holy Spirit in us. We will be created of God's Spirit. God is love. Jesus is made of God's Spirit. He's his Son. He is love. When you and I are in God's kingdom, we will not be flesh with God's Spirit in us. We will be God's children. We'll be created of the Spirit that he's going to make us out of his Spirit, his children. You'll be love. Now, by the way, that little baby went to Australia where his grandparents over there, the grandparents here, my daughter and her husband, have been enjoying him thoroughly. But over in Australia, this lady right here, Mandy Jennings, cried every day when she found out that they were going to come to the feast in Australia. You get to see her son and her only grandchild. That's Nana, by the way. That's Atticus with Nana. Love. Now here, this is some time ago, long time ago, this is my first wife with her first baby. Long time ago. That boy is 57. She was happier than she'd ever been. Now here he was just learning to smile. I'm going through this, need to go quicker. And she was, I mean, when he smiled at his mommy. He loved his mommy, and let me tell you, Lucretia loved that little boy. There's that little boy right now. Not right now. She's dead now, but she died 5 years ago, and this was at church. I took this picture. Now here's David with his first child. Is he in love? Here's David with that same child, Cheyenne. This is back when she was still a teenager at a prom. And David came. I was there too because I was asked to give the sermon that day. So Lucretia and I are there with and she was our first grandchild. And we're in love with her. But then it goes on. I've got it on here on a piece of paper, but I find it almost easier to look around and see what's there. Now, this is at a feast 4 years ago. There's Cheyenne. That picture got reversed, and I can't reverse it back. But that's actually her left hand, and he proposed to her at the feast out in Squaw Valley 4 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago. Whatever. 5 years ago. 5 years ago. And here she is, happy as she can be. Really happy. She has a baby. Cleo. And here is David, my son, with his wife. And here's that little baby. And they're happier than ever. Why? Why are they so happy? Love. Now, this is a different grandchild. And I've got 8 granddaughters. This one is named after my first wife, Lucretia, but the nickname after her great-great-grandmother, Lucretia, which the nickname was Crete. So we call this little girl at the feast 20 years ago in Gatlinburg at a family dance with a dress that my wife made for her of many colors. And she's a happy little thing. Here's a more recent picture from this summer. That's me baptizing her right there. Am I happy? Oh, am I happy? Because I love that little girl more than life. That's Gary Petty, her pastor. He did the counseling. There we are. By the way, Gary Petty, you could not ask for a better pastor. And I know you all know him. And he's so talented and so capable. And you know, when he moved to become, I've retired, and he took over the Nashville, Murfreesboro congregations, Jackson. You know what amazed me about him? Man so talented, capable. He is incredibly humble. Incredibly kind and humble. I don't think he's listening, so I can say that. This is a 4-generation picture of my present wife that I met at the feast 4 years ago, and we married, Renee. Does she look happy? This is 4 generations. That's her daughter on our left, on the left, her right, and her daughter's son, Matt. Lisa is the daughter. Matt is the grandson. And then Theo. And that's the first of Lisa's grandchildren. That's the first child that Matt has had. And are they happy? Because they're in love. Now, love also brings terrible sorrow at times. Renee tells me, grief is one of the prices of love. And our song leader has lost his wife, and he's grieving, Bob Bittner. That's the price of love. But she's going to be resurrected. She was a faithful member, Judy, and there will be joy forever. Bob's having a hard time waiting. And my present wife will meet my first wife, and it may be a surprise for Lucretia when Renee says, well, after you were dead over a year, I married Fred. And Lucretia will say, you poor thing. And then they'll commiserate. Oh, he told that joke about you too? Oh, he told me that so often and embarrassed me. Bev Kubik warned her, said he'll embarrass you. But look what's going to happen. Look at what's going to happen. There's going to be, every tear will be wiped away. Bob, Jesus is going to, God the Father is going to wipe Bob Bittner's tears away. And he's got lots of them. Judy was so sweet. He had a wonderful wife. Can't complain about the wonderful marriage he had. This is interesting. You got a letter before the feast, if you were in the church 4 years ago, before the feast, from Dr. Don Ward, who was the chairman of the Council of Elders. Let me check my time. 20 minutes has gone by. All right, I still got 30. He sent out a letter to us all before the feast. And this is one of the verses that he quoted right here in his letter. I saved that letter because of what he said. So he quoted Hebrews chapter 12, verse both 1 and 2. And here's verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. But what really impressed me was his exegesis, if I could use the word. Don't worry about what that means. My wife will, it just means getting out of the verse the meaning. And my wife would say, well, why didn't you say that in the first place? But verse 2 is the one that he really said something about. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, by the way, the bold is, I bolded it, not Dr. Ward. For the joy that was set before him, joy, this is the point I'm making, the joy that was set before him, that we're going to have 1,000 years of joy. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now here is what Dr. Ward said. Meditate carefully on the following phrase in verse 2. For the joy that was set before him. What joy do you think he's referring to? You know, he's the only one I've ever heard give this explanation, and he's right. It is the joy of seeing you and I in the kingdom of God as glorious, radiant spirit beings. Now, you'd say it's the joy that he was about to go sit by the throne of God. But look, he came and endured the cross, it says. Endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. See, he endured the cross. He didn't come down to qualify to sit at the right hand of God. He had that. He endured the cross so that you and I could be in the kingdom. What joy did he have? Do you know, you in the kingdom of God brings Jesus joy because he suffered so that you and I could be in the kingdom of God to see us. How, now let me put this, how can we feel? If I had a choice, which God's not going to give me, to be in God's kingdom or to have one of my children in God's kingdom. He said, Fred, it's either you or David, or you or Fred, or you or Debbie, or you or Melissa, or you or Lucretia, or you or Renee. I'd immediately say, take them. I've learned to love some people more than I love myself, and most of us love our children and our grandchildren. And Renee and I have 10 great-grandchildren. And we would give up our salvation for them. God's not going to allow that. But the joy of, we want to see others, to see my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my friends in God's kingdom will bring incredible joy. Just incredible. When I'm in God's kingdom, yes, I say, wow, I'm in God's kingdom. But wait, over here, my son David, my son Fred, my daughter Debbie, my daughter Melissa, my grandchildren. Now, I'm not assured that they'll all be there, but the ones that are there are going to give me greater joy, in my opinion, than me being there. Because I love them more than I love myself. And love brings joy. Love brings joy. Now, I want you to think about what will your job be in the kingdom of God? It will be leading people to God's kingdom. You'd say, well, I love my children, I love my grandchildren, I love my wife, I love my brother, I love my sister. Do you know, you're not going to be the same as you are right now in God's kingdom. Look, Renee and I are in our 80s, and we have trouble with names, remembering names. Usually I can get a first letter, and then she can, if I'll say, well, it starts with an S, and she'll remember the name. But we have to work together. I know the name, I just can't get it up. In God's kingdom, you'll never forget anything. Does God forget anything? Does anybody in the family of God forget anything? You can learn and know every angel. You'll know the name of every last angel because you'll have perfect memory. God has perfect memory. Look, he knows every hair on our heads. It's getting easier on my head for him. But, you know, if he knows every hair in this room, on this earth, every star in all the galaxies. And you'll be in that family. You can learn the name of every star in every galaxy, every angel, every person in God's kingdom, and you'll know everybody on earth. You'll see every, listen, you'll know when somebody's pregnant before they know it. And you'll see the baby grow. You'll know whether it's a boy or a girl before they do. And you'll watch that little baby grow. And you'll have responsibility to help lead that child to God's kingdom. And I truly believe that we will love those little babies and those little children growing more than we can love our own children because we're still flesh. And we're not love. We have love, but we aren't love yet. But when we are perfect love, we'll love all those babies and we will want them in God's kingdom so much, and we'll have the opportunity to lead them to God's kingdom. We'll be able to say, this is the way, walk you in it. We'll be able to, look, Jesus, when he appeared to the disciples and they were all frightened, he showed up in the room. There he was, and they were worried it was a spirit, and he said, do you have anything to eat? Was he hungry? I don't think so. Why did he ask for something to eat? They were all afraid. So they're all afraid. Here's a spirit. Is this some spirit? And the spirit says, have you got anything to eat? Wouldn't that be calming? And then they went out fishing. And when they got to shore, he had fish waiting for them, ready to eat. So if we want to go to somebody's house for dinner, which we can, Jesus ate after he was resurrected, we can occasionally say, I'll bring the dinner. Jesus brought the dinner, the fish dinner, and you'll know every last hair on everybody's head there, and your desire will be love for those people to be in God's kingdom. And when they're growing and coming along, we'll have joy that we have never, ever, ever experienced ever before. 20 minutes left. Where'd we get to? Meditate carefully. All right. Well, let's look at a few verses. Romans 5:5. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which, we would say, was given to us. Yes, we have love poured out in our hearts, and we will be love in God's kingdom. Now, here's something interesting to me. Revelation, I'm going to tie this in with something else. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Him who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Now, that's the good news. Although, what does it mean to be a pillar in the temple of God? Probably you and I would not feel interested in just standing around holding up the ceiling. So we could be a pillar, and there we are. Hey, how you doing, pillar? You know, and then you're a pillar over there. How's your, is you getting a little tired? No, we're spirit. We can hold up this roof a long time. That's not what it means. So let's think about what it means to be a pillar in the temple of God. Well, what's the problem? Revelation 21, verse 22 says, but I saw no temple in it. Wait, you're a pillar in the temple. It doesn't say there's no temple. John said, I didn't see one. Because he didn't see a building with a facade and the two pillars out in front, Boaz and Joachim. He didn't see that. I saw no temple in it, but there was a temple. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple, and who else is going to be part of the temple? Anybody who's a pillar in it. And this was already quoted, Revelation 5:10. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. That's out of love. Our job is to lead people to live forever with us in love and joy. Philippians chapter 20. Chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. You know, I meant to say these verses twice because I know some people are listening to the audio. So for those of you on the audio, we're glad you're listening. Maybe you wish I'd quoted some of the verses where they are twice. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body. Does that sound low enough? Tried to get low there. Lowly bodies. That it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is even able to subdue all things to himself. That's the power and the glory and the strength. But you know, it isn't power and glory and strength just for the sake of being powerful and glorious and strong. It's the opportunity to love. And not only love all the people we serve, to go show up at their house, to sit with them underneath the vine and the fig, to help lead them to God's kingdom, to teach them how to have happy marriages, to be there if one of them starts to go the wrong way, to say, this is the way, walk you in it. It's, you know, they're going to see us. We're going to be there. We're going to be able to love them, express love, show them love, and be love. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Philippians, just check, make sure it's the same. Verse 1. Therefore, my beloved, He loved the Philippian church, Paul did, and longed for brethren. My joy Think of that. My beloved and longed for brethren, my joy. I'm looking forward to being like Autumn said about having Atticus and her husband and a picture of them hugging each other. That I'm looking forward to having more joy than I've ever had in God's kingdom. And because I'll have more love than I've ever had. My joy and crown, so steadfast in the Lord, beloved. And he will be resurrected and have more love than he's ever had. There we go. I don't know if you, is that too small? Can you read that? Okay, I see a few heads nodding. Don't know, can you read that? You can, okay. We did get to Isaiah 30, didn't we? Verse 19 through 21. For those of you at home, glad you could listen in. Isaiah 30, verse 19 through 21. Can you tell how many people are listening in? Do you have that? Afterwards, okay. Well, we're glad to have you. And look, I know you at home who are listening in can't see me. Count it all joy. My first wife, Lucretia, when she first got sick, and she had a seizure, and she was unconscious for 23 hours, and woke up. We didn't know if she was going to live. And she woke up in bed, could not move. She could not move. And she kept having these seizures. And then, but she opened her eyes. I said, I love you. She said, I love you. After a little bit, I said, now, because she couldn't move, I said, this is not the same day you remember. You've been unconscious for a day. She said, count it all joy. Wow. You see why God took her, not me? She was ready. All right, we did get to Isaiah 30, verse 19 through 21. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. So we can go right there and we can talk to them and we can show up and we can eat with them and we can sit down and play with their children. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, whenever you turn to the left, we've heard that one already this feast. And then Habakkuk 3 and verse 18, Habakkuk 3 verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Do you love God? Of course you do. But how much more will you love your father and your brother who gave himself for you when you're a spirit being and made with love? How much more will you love them then? So much more. How much more will you praise them then? So much more. You'll be happy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. No problem. You're going to get out on time. It counted all joy.